Amen. If you got your little piece of paper and your pencil, now's the time that I'll tell you what I would like for you to do. On that little piece of paper, I want you to write on there someone that you would like to see saved. That's what I want you to do. You don't have to show it to nobody else. You don't have to show it to nobody around you. I want you just to write it on there, fold it up, and keep it to yourself. And it's somebody that you may have been praying for years. Maybe you just know them. Maybe so. I would like for you to write that on that piece of paper. I'm going to be in Luke, the 5th chapter. Whenever you're done there, I'll give you a minute to do that. Just turn over to there, Luke, the 5th chapter. I don't need to know it. God needs to know what you write down there. The title of my message this morning is Desperate Times Sometimes Call for Desperate Measures. Amen. I'm going to read the scripture here in a little bit, but I want to tell you something before I go any farther, before I pray and stuff. There's a book out there that was called The Day America Told the Truth. Has anybody ever heard of that book before? The Day America Told the Truth. This book was published back quite a few years ago, but it had a national survey about it, and it asked Americans, and they didn't put their names down. It was totally without anybody knowing who they were. It had views on sex, crime, punishment, rape, the death penalty, and all manner of things. And one of the questions was asked, it said, what would you do for $10 million? And they were asked, and the survey came back, and all the stuff was totaled, and here's what it said. Would you abandon your entire family for $10 million? 25% of those surveyed said that they would. Would they abandon their church? 25% said they would abandon their church. Would become a prostitute for a week or more? 23% said that they would do that for $10 million. Would give up their American citizenship? 16%. Would leave their spouses? 16% said that they would do that. Would withhold testimony and let a murderer go free? 10% said that they would do that. Would kill a stranger? 7% said that they would do that for $10 million. Would put their children up for adoption? 3% of the people surveyed said that they would do that. The day America told the truth. Now, let's forget about that cash for a minute. Let me ask you a question. What would you do to find a cure for cancer? What would you do? What would you do for ending hunger? What would you do if you had a friend, one of your best friends, and there was something going on in their life to help them? You know what? Some people might say desperate times sometimes call for desperate measures. I'll tell you what. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. The reason why I asked you to sign that paper, this is more important than anything. What would you do to see the person on that paper saved? I want to ask you that. I want you to think about that. We'll get into that more. What would you do to see somebody? That's more important than anything, as far as I'm concerned. As far as I am concerned, someone getting to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior is more important than anything else that we can imagine in this world. Amen? What would you do? Desperate times sometimes call for desperate measures. Now, turn with me to Luke 5. I'm going to read, starting with verse 17. I'm going to read one verse, and then I'll read some more of it, but I'm going to read the 17, then I'm going to have a word of prayer. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting, but which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, I pray, Father, as we put this question out there this morning, Lord, I pray that we would search our hearts, Lord. I pray, Father, down into the utmost parts of our heart, Lord. And Father, what would we do to see someone come to know your Son, Jesus? What would we do? What would be the limits of what we would do? And Father, I hope there's no limits in our heart, Lord. I hope that this morning. For Father, truly, truly, to get to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ, should be the goal of every individual on this earth. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you would give us that desire. you'd give us that heartfelt will in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. And amen. I want you to notice the crowd that Jesus was facing. And I'm going to read on down through here in a minute, like I said. They were some of the best people in the land, morally speaking, if you want to say it that way. They kept the law. They were extremely accurate and minute in every detail, in every matter pertaining to the law of Moses. They tithed. They separated themselves from the world. Well, their very name, Pharisees, meant separated ones. That's what it was. You know what? At first glance, these Pharisees were the type of people we'd love to have in our church, would they not be? At first glance. Also, there were the teachers of the law. They recorded, they analyzed the Mosaic law, the traditions. You know what? They were the one, their main purpose was to be there to point out errors if there was any in the law. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the reason they were there, they weren't there to learn from Jesus. They were there so that they could catch Jesus up in something. That's exactly what they were up there for. That's what it was about. It's a lot like some of the NASCAR fans that I know. Now, not everybody jump up and down and want to stake me at the stake for this. But a lot of NASCAR fans, what they want to see is a good wreck or two. Am I right? I know a few. I'm not saying every one of them's like that, so don't come and try to nail me to a cross somewhere about it, please. I wonder sometimes that attitude hasn't slipped into the church sometimes. I wonder that sometimes. Do you know why? At some point we change from being a teachable spirit that God wants into something that you have to come to church and look and see if we can find where, you know, someone's saying something wrong so we can make it right. You know what I'm saying? You'll never find a church that agrees with everything that you agree with 100%. And I'll get back to the main point here a little bit, but I'm trying to build it up to what I'm trying to find. A person can lose the forest for the tree sometimes. They can do that by looking around. You know, there's a fine line between a teachable Christian and a prideful, self-appointed person that all they want to do is be a watchdog of truth. Don't be like these Pharisees and the teachers of the law when we come to church. Don't be like that. They were ready to pounce on the first thing Jesus did wrong, and there are people that want to come to church, and the first thing they want to do is pounce on something that someone says that is wrong instead of praying about it. Now let's move down to verses 18 and 19. And behold, a man brought in a bed, a man which had taken his palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop, and let him down through the tiling and his couch unto the midst where Jesus lay. Folks, you know what? They knew that there was a need. They knew. If your best friend, your husband, your wife, your mom or dad, or your son or daughter has a need, has a crisis, how far would you go to try to correct it? Or help us correct it? How far would you go? Would you go to meet that need to get them healed? We are not told in the Bible how far these people came. We're not told. They could have been next door. They could have brought this man from miles away. All that we're told is that they wanted their friend to see Jesus so he could be healed. I want to ask you something this morning. I ask you to write down on a piece of paper. I ask you that. Do you have a desire for the person, a totally God-committed desire to that person that you wrote down, to know Jesus Christ? And you might say back here, yes, I do. We're going to find out in a little bit how much you really do. How much you really do. But the place was packed, and he was going in, and the door was not open. They were desperate to see Jesus. Desperate enough, so the people were overflowing. And you know what? They took desperate time, sometimes called for desperate measures. It wouldn't be easy. But you know what? Let me improvise. I can imagine them all in that room. They wanted their friend to get to Jesus. Can you imagine first hearing a noise on the roof? But there's Jesus. He's down there teaching. And you know what? They probably weren't paying much attention to that noise on the roof since there's a large crowd. Then all at once the dust probably started coming down off the ceiling. Then the palm leaves. Then all the stuff they had to pack it in there. And finally, as it come down, there was a hole in the roof. And they let this man down through. They let him down through on his castle, let him down where they could get to Jesus. Like I said, sometimes desperate times call for desperate measures. Amen? Which brings me to the cure. And the reason I had to write there, you had you to write those names down in verse 20. And it says, and when he saw their faith, he said unto them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Jesus knew exactly. Jesus knew exactly what was going on and how the whole thing was going to play out. He knew it. Verses 20, regardless of those things around him, regardless of him, Jesus saw straight through. Saw straight through the man's needs. You know what? The man, yes, he couldn't walk. But you know what? Jesus saw through all that. Why? Because he saw what the real need was. The man needed to be forgiven of his sins. Amen? He needed it. No matter how bad someone we may know may have it physically. I want to tell you something. The bigger picture is the spiritual aspect of everything. Amen? That's what it is. Jesus knew that the man had come in faith. He knew that. And he healed. But you know what? He did heal the man. He did heal him. And spiritually and physically. He did it both. Not so that he could walk around another 40 years. You know why? He healed him from physically and spiritually so he could be a witness and help other people come to know Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The man received far more than just a physical healing. Amen? He did that. The application's easy here. How far would we go to bring a friend or a family member to Jesus Christ? You wrote down on those cards someone who means a lot to you, I'm sure, and you need Jesus. How far would you go to get them saved? I love to think of things in concrete terms. I love that. And I want to ask you a question. Would $1,000 be enough for you to see somebody saved? How about $5,000? How about a year in prison? How about your house? Where would you draw the line? Would you draw the line to see? Remember, this was the fate of many early Christians back then. I want you to remember that. We've already talked about this. Those people back then not only give up everything that they had, they would give their lives to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to see people saved. Am I right? They did that. They seen results. It wasn't long after that where pretty much the whole Roman Empire fell to Christianity. Am I right? It did. Because those people were willing. Now let me ask you again, sitting here today, you wrote on that paper someone that you wanted to see be saved. How far are you willing to go to see somebody saved? Would you give up a work, an hour of your work at time, maybe your lunch hour, to talk to your friend about Jesus Christ? Are you willing to do that? Would you risk being thought of as a Bible-thumping Jesus freak? Would you be willing to do that? I'll tell you what, I wonder sometimes. I wonder. I'm not here to ask you to sell your houses and your lands and all that kind of stuff, but I'm just asking you, how far would you go to see somebody saved? Take a risk and have your neighbor come over for a cookout, maybe. Would you be willing to do that? Take a risk and do that, you know, get acquainted with them. To say that, would you boldly speak out for Jesus? Would you boldly speak out for Jesus whenever the Spirit is telling you to do it? Now, you've got that card in your hand right there. What would it take for each one of us to help that person on that card come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior? What would it take? Find Jesus this year. There are desperate times. They call for desperate measures. Extraordinary effort. Praying, maybe. You know what? Because the bigger picture is not what's happening in us, or to us, folks. It's not what's happening to us. Listen to me. The few years we have left on this earth is going to be what's happened for eternity in heaven or the other place where they may spend it. Amen? The people that's on that piece of paper that you're holding could end up in one place or the other. God had put this upon my heart to say this. Listen to me. What would you do to see them people saved? Are you willing to pray and fast? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to say, Lord, whatever it takes, put the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to come upon their lives? But I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to pray that prayer, and you're going to mean it heartfelt, you're going to have to bear with what the consequences have come. Because sometimes it may not be very pleasant what happens to some people, but till they've come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I've seen a lot of things like that prayed, and I'll tell you what, some pretty bad things happened. But you know what? It took that to draw them and to get them to know Jesus Christ. It's a matter of perspective. Jesus saw that, and so should we. Amen? Could there be criticism of you? Of course there's going to be criticism. Look at verses 21 and 23 in this same chapter. And the scribes and the Pharisees begin to reason, saying, "Who is this which saith blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, "What reason ye in your heart?" He was getting ready to teach them a pretty good lesson, was he not? He was getting ready to teach them, you know what? Are you going to be criticized? Oh, you better believe you will be. Oh, you better believe. If you stand out for Jesus and you go to somebody that the Lord has told you to go to, don't think, yeah, and the Lord may have prepared a way for you first to go and talk to them. But you know what? They may say stuff to you that you may not want to hear. You may get your feelings hurt. They may say, "Well, you know what? I remember when you was like this. I heard that. I've heard that. Dave, I remember back whenever you said, yeah, I was exactly like you said. But you know what? I come to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm not like that anymore. And I heard it. Yes, it does hurt, but you know what? You know what? You take the criticism. Look at what our Lord and Savior faced. Look at what Paul faced. Ryan's already stated what the disciples faced. Some of them were filleted like a fish. Some of them, other ones were all the things. They were split asunder and their bowels pulled out. Some of them were done other things too. And it's terrible. Terrible to think of what they did, but you know what? They kept on. They would never deny Jesus Christ as their Savior. Never. And I ask you today, in this country that we live in, all that we have today, all that the Lord has blessed us with, let me again ask you, what would you do to see the person that you wrote down on that card saved? What would you do? What would you do? John 14:6 says, Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I and my Father are one." Jesus made sure that he put out there just exactly what was needed. You know what? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, "What reason ye in your heart?" Why do you reason you in your heart? It says, whether it be easier to say thy sins be forgiven or to say rise up and walk. Well, both of those things are pretty easy to say. But you know what? It took Jesus to make them true. Amen? It took Jesus to make them true. I want to tell you something this morning. You wrote down on those cards, again, I'm going to keep going after you, wrote down on those cards someone that you would like to be saved. See saved. I'm going to ask you something right here this morning. You know what? What would it take for you to go talk to them? What would it take for you to pray for them on a daily basis without ceasing, and fast for them, and maybe go when the Lord tells you to go and say, "Listen, you know what? I want you. The Lord's telling me to tell you that you need Him as your Savior, that you need Jesus Christ to come into your heart." Folks, Jesus was criticized pretty much every step of the way, and don't think for one minute that whenever you go that you're not going to be criticized, you're not going to be told. But you know what? You know what? You may call you a hypocrite. They may call you all kind of manner of things. But I want to tell you something here this morning. You know what? What would you be willing to take and accept to find somebody come to know that Jesus Christ is your Savior? You may be led to be talked to a friend. How about a son? How about a daughter? How about a brother or sister? How about your spouse? How about your parents or your grandparents? You say, "Well, I can't go talk to my parents." Let me tell you something here this morning. Let me tell you. If the Lord has put it upon your heart and to go talk to your parents, maybe your parents don't know Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, you need to go, not walk, but need to run to them and tell them that they need Jesus as their Savior. Told that you know what, you're told that that's none of your business, you may be told that you're judging them, you may be told all manner of things. But I'm telling you what it would it be worth to you to find someone? How far are you willing to go? James put it this way. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead. Being alone. Jesus does not suggest that we go preach the gospel. It's been said here before. He commanded it. The Great Commission was a command. It was not a suggestion. We've seen that here before. Can you imagine yourself standing with the Lord Jesus Christ on the day of judgment? And you know what? Just imagine this. And over those people getting judged, or some of those people maybe that you wrote down on those cards, and they're over there, and maybe you never went and talked to them. Maybe you never said a word, and they're standing over there, and they're looking at you, and they're telling you, why did you not tell me? Why did you not preach to me? Why did you not say to me? Why? That's my point this morning here. That's my point. What would it take for you? What would it take for you? What would you be willing to do? What are you willing to do now? Our actions? Should we be planned? Should be motivated by the love of God? Of course it should be. Always. Not just a desire to do good. It should always be motivated by love whenever we go and talk to anybody. If God's dealing with you, it's what is needed. Let me tell you something. I believe this, and I know something was mentioned here in the teaching this morning. If God is dealing with you to go someplace, and don't, you know, it's not my responsibility if He's dealing with you, because you know what? They may not respond to me the way that they will respond to you. Ryan said it best. You know what? If you've been through something in your life, I want to tell you something. You're the one that can deal with that person that's going through it. You're the one that can handle that. You're the one. Not anybody else. Don't look around the room. That's why I say I want you to hold that paper to yourself, because that's you. That's for you. What are you willing to do to see somebody saved? You know? Will you feel your strength or weaknesses are as it doesn't make any difference? 1 Corinthians 1:23. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You may think that you're the weakest of weak. You may think that you don't know the Scripture. You may think that you do not know how to witness to people. I want to tell you something. That's the people God can use. You're the one that God can use. They may, preacher comes knocking on the door, oh, it's just that preacher. But you know what? You come knocking on their door, they may invite you in, come in and sit down where you can talk to them. You know what? It's just like the story of the frog prince. You know the story of the frog prince, don't you? Where he's a frog, he's been turned into a frog, and it takes a beautiful princess to kiss him and to turn him back into a prince. You know what? Who's your frog? Who's your frog? Who is it? Who's that person? Maybe you wrote down on a paper. Maybe it's somebody else. Who's your frog that God wants you to go to? You personally. You're the one. You know what? Yes. Remember, desperate times sometimes call for desperate measures. I don't know what it is that you need to do. I can't tell you. But I'll tell you this. If we put our hope, our trust, and our faith in Jesus Christ, and He is telling us to do that, I'm going to tell you, He'll make the way for you. He'll prepare the heart that you go to. And when you get there, He'll give you the words. I remember a gentleman at 14th Avenue one time. This guy couldn't even hardly read. An older guy. He said that he just got saved. And he said a friend of his, the Lord had told him to go to this person's house. He didn't want to do it. He said, I don't know the word. I can hardly even read the Bible, he said. You know what happened when he got there? He said he pulled open Scripture and read it, but he said he couldn't even, he said he had never, didn't even think that he could even read. He read it. And it wasn't just one verse. It was several verses. And he said, whatever he was done, he said the guy sat there and cried, because you know why? It was him that needed to go. It was him. God will make a way. I know the preacher that never even went past seventh grade. He couldn't even read the Bible. But when that man opened up the Word of God, there was not a better preacher around. Why? Because God wanted him to do it. Not somebody with 15 college degrees. Praise God. You today. You. What are you willing to do to see somebody saved? What are you willing to do? Are you willing to go that extra mile? Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to say, listen, Lord, here I am, send me. Are you willing to do that? Let me ask you that this morning. Desperate times do sometimes call for desperate measures. You know what? It may be you. It may be you. They come and get a song. Please, please this morning, please come. If you have a need this morning, let us pray. I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you do not know Jesus this morning as your Savior, I'm telling you right now, this is a good place to come to know Him. Come right up to this altar if the Lord's dealing with you this morning. Come up here. Let Him flood your soul with joy. Let Him take away all the anxiety. Let Him take away all the stuff that's all the turmoil that's in your heart. Let Him do that. And He can do it. I guarantee you He can do it.